Tucked away in his headquarters, Brigadier Leonard Parrington stood at the map table, sweat beading on his brow. It was April 28, 1941, and the distant gunfire echoed through the walls, heralding the steady approach of the dreaded German 5th Panzer Division. The Brigadier held in his shaky hands the fate of the Allied forces in Greece, but it seemed like there was little real choice left. The orders for surrender were lodged in his throat. Just then, the door burst open. A wiry New Zealander with red-hot anger in his eyes stormed in. Parrington shuddered at the reproachful glare of Sergeant Jack Hinton, who shouted at his superior, quote, "Surrender! Go and jump in the bloody lake!" Parrington balked at the insubordination. He threatened Hinton with a court-martial. Hinton scoffed and retorted without hesitation, saying, quote, "If you're not careful, I'll have you court-martialed for talking surrender." The Kiwi sergeant stormed out. If the brigadier didn't have the stomach to face the Germans, he'd take them on himself. The Battle of Greece was calling. Jack Hinton was born on September 17, 1909, in the rugged wilderness of Colac Bay, New Zealand. One of seven children, raised by a hard-working railway man, Jack's restless spirit emerged early. At just 12, he got into a fierce argument with his father. Instead of capitulating to authority, the young Jack ran away from home in search of independence and adventure that would define his life. It wasn't long before he found himself aboard a Norwegian whaling ship, battling the unforgiving seas with resolve and grit. Back on land, he roamed as a swagman, working any job he could find. Railway construction, gold mining, sawmilling. By the 1930s, he carved out a steady life in public service and running a pub. And all would have been peaceful from that moment on, except the world darkened with different plans. War was upon the world, and Jack Hinton, now no longer the wandering swagman or shepherd, answered the call without hesitation. The year was 1939, and the 2nd New Zealand Expeditionary Force was being raised to fight the looming threat abroad. Jack enlisted. Though one of the older men in the ranks, his toughness and experience quickly set him apart. He was posted to the 20th Battalion, under the legendary Lieutenant Colonel Howard Kippenberger, who had begun his career as a private on the Western Front in World War I. Before long, Jack was promoted to corporal. His rise through the ranks was swift as the war machine mobilized, and he proved himself indispensable. By the time the battalion sailed for the Middle East in early 1940, Jack Hinton had been promoted again to sergeant. Jack was tough as nails and unflinchingly honest, a man shaped by the brutalities of working in gold mines, whaling ships, and sawmills. His ruggedness gave him an edge, but it was his sharp tongue and defiant attitude that made him stand out in the military world. While other men might shrink before the chain of command, Jack met it head-on with stubbornness and defiance. As he arrived in Egypt, the searing heat and endless sands were testing the 20th Battalion, but it wasn't the desert that Jack complained about. During rifle practice, when Major General Bernard Freyberg, one of the most distinguished officers in the entire Allied force, visited the range, Jack seized his chance to speak his mind. When Freyberg asked how the men were shooting, Jack didn't hesitate, asking the general, quote, "How would you expect them to bloody well shoot?" Glaring at the general, and then adding, quote, "Not enough bloody rations, stinking heat, and sand." The air went still with suspense. Freyberg, unruffled, asked him to repeat the comment. Most men would have withered, but not Jack Hinton. He repeated every word, each sound and syllable slowly and crystal clear. The general noted his name and moved on, but not without being seared by a lasting expression from the brazenly sharp-tongued Hinton. His forward manner paid off. Shortly after the incident, the rations improved for his battalion. Jack Hinton had taken on authority and won, but his fiery personality didn't go unnoticed. His commander had a word with him, suggesting a more tactful approach to senior officers. But Jack was Jack. Tact was never his strong suit. The war had only just begun for Jack Hinton, and already his boldness was making waves. Swagger comes easy in times of peace and safety. The true test of battle was rapidly approaching. The date was April 28, 1941. The port town of Kalamata, Greece, was in chaos. The German 5th Panzer Division thundered into the town, tanks leading the charge, their turrets swiveling like predators. The Panzer IVs unleashed their high-velocity 75mm cannons, firing armor-piercing rounds that punched through walls as if they were paper. Self-propelled 6-inch guns unleashed explosive shells that shook the ground, sending shockwaves through the narrow streets. Machine guns rattled, cutting down anything that moved. With the chaos fast approaching, thousands of Allied soldiers, mostly New Zealanders and Australians, waited anxiously for evacuation. But the plans were faltering. Leadership, in the form of decorated officers who sat safely behind desks, was failing these men who had come so far from home. Then came the dreaded order: surrender. Jack Hinton, hearing the ominous rumble of gunfire in the distance, set himself in motion, firing on all pistons. Surrender was not in Jack's vocabulary. He stormed into the headquarters of Brigadier Leonard Parrington, the officer in charge of the evacuation. To the question of surrender, a furious Hinton categorically refused. Parrington threatened him with a court-martial for his insubordination, but Jack fired back, threatening to have Parrington himself court-martialed for defeatist talk. Not waiting for another word, Hinton spun on his heel and gathered a party of 12 brave souls. His plan was clear. They would defend Kalamata on their own, no matter the odds. The ragtag group of New Zealanders advanced into the shattered town, moving cautiously through streets strewn with debris. The air vibrated with the crack of gunfire and the thunderous rumble of distant explosions. Jack Hinton felt the adrenaline surge through him, sharpening his focus. Suddenly, a German machine gun opened fire, bullets whizzing past with reckless precision. Some might have hesitated at that moment, recalling the order to surrender. But without a second thought, Jack just shouted, quote, "To hell with this. Who'll come with me?" He pulled out 2 grenades and launched himself toward the enemy position. His men shouted at him frantically to retreat. His ears were too full of fury to hear them. With grenades clutched tightly in his hand, he charged forward. The first gun crew facing him was entrenched behind cover, firing mercilessly at the advancing New Zealander. Jack didn't flinch. He hurled the 2 grenades into the gun nest with fierce precision. The deafening explosion obliterated the crew. Unrelenting, Jack pressed on, his bayonet glinting in the chaos. He and his ragtag crew smashed through the windows of a nearby house, clearing out the German soldiers. Then, pushing deeper into the town, his men in tow, Jack found 2 more German light machine gun nests and a mortar position. One after the other, he took them out, grenades sailing through the air, sending terrified German soldiers scrambling for cover. The streets were a battlefield, and Jack Hinton was the storm in its center. Even when they encountered enemy troops garrisoned in a house, he took them head-on, leading his party through enemy fire like a force of nature. Finally, as they neared the waterfront, Jack spotted an artillery piece, possibly a light or heavy field howitzer or PAK-40 anti-tank gun. Any of these a vital German asset. Without missing a beat, he joined the risky charge and captured it. The little victory celebration was intense but brief. Shortly after the thrill of this capture faded and reality crept back in, Jack realized there was an immense pain tearing through his stomach. He'd been shot. Captured, along with nearly 6,000 other Allied soldiers, Jack was dragged from the battlefield, but his defiance burned brighter than ever. For months, Jack Hinton was officially listed as missing in action. His comrades and family could do nothing but worry, as long as his fate remained unknown. In reality, Jack lay in a hospital bed near Athens, recovering from the vicious gunshot wound he'd sustained in the ferocious battle for Kalamata. The bullet had ripped through his abdomen, but it couldn't extinguish his spirit. As soon as he was able, Jack was transferred to a camp in Germany, Stalag 9C, a notorious POW installation. But even in captivity, his legend was growing. Ever the imposing figure, and true to his restless form, Jack made several escape attempts from the camp. They would invariably end in his recapture and punishment, solitary confinement. It was during one such stint in solitary that certain news reached the camp. Jack Hinton had been recommended for the Victoria Cross, the highest military honor in the Commonwealth of Nations. The POW camp commandant, perhaps begrudgingly impressed by Hinton's fearless reputation, paraded him in front of his fellow prisoners, presenting him with the VC ribbon before returning him to the cold isolation of his cell. Even then, Jack Hinton had stood tall, his unyielding spirit a beacon to his fellow POWs. Finally, by April 1945, the relentless Allied advance into Germany began casting a long shadow over Stalag 9C. As the Germans scrambled to evacuate, Jack mapped out his plan. He started feigning a severe illness. The guards, anxious to leave, ignored the sick man, hurriedly packed their belongings, and fled. Once the camp fell silent, adrenaline surged through Jack's veins. Heart pounding, he scoured the barracks, searching for the keys to freedom. His hands trembled as he finally found them. With a deep breath, he unlocked the gates, stepping into the uncertain night, every sound amplifying his fear. Lucky for him, he stumbled upon the U.S. 6th Armored Division. The American soldiers eyed this emaciated man in ragged civilian clothing warily, unsure if he was a threat. Determined to prove himself, he passionately recounted his story, demonstrating his knowledge of military tactics. Impressed by his resilience and insight, they quickly accepted him. Donning a borrowed American uniform, Jack plunged right back into the chaos of battle with the U.S. 44th Infantry Division. With his newfound comrades, he executed daring maneuvers, coordinating assaults with razor-sharp precision. Together, they captured three villages, overwhelming the enemy and rounding up German POWs. In the heat of battle, Jack Hinton was reborn from a captive into a fierce warrior, embodying the very spirit of liberation. Word of this audacious escape and frontline action reached senior U.S. officers, and Jack was promptly sent to England. On May 11th, Sergeant Jack Hinton stood in Buckingham Palace before King George VI to receive his Victoria Cross. After returning home, Jack Hinton found his footing managing hotels and in the horse racing industry. He traveled overseas frequently, attending Queen Elizabeth II's coronation and various Victoria Cross and George Cross celebrations. He passed away on June 28, 1997. His military funeral was attended by 800 people. After Jack Hinton's passing, his Victoria Cross was stolen in a daring heist. The medal was eventually recovered after a remarkable $300,000 reward was offered, though it remains unsolved if the person who returned the medal and collected the reward money was the original crook who stole it. This coda in the life of Jack Hinton serves as a stark reminder of how valor must be earned, not bought or stolen, and that such a prestigious symbol as the Victoria Cross is only meaningful in the hands of its rightful hero.